can catch up on Kennedy Malloy anywhere. Now use super fast internet anywhere with OVO Boom prepaid mobile broadband. No contracts, no wires. OVO.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, everybody, welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Malloy. A big hello to you, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
I hope you had a good weekend. I know you did. We'll talk about that in a moment. What about Dave Reynolds is coming in?
That's great. That might be the first time anyone's spoken to Dave since Bathurst.
Since Bathurst. Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of that.
His lovely other half, Tahan Lufat's coming in.
She won a fight. She won a fight.
I want to find out all the details on that.
All right. We'll get to the bottom of both of those two and what they've been up to. Charlie Pickering will be in. Is his show on tonight or Wednesday night?
Wednesday night his show's on, doing well, so we'll talk about that. And he's got a great idea. We're going to chat, get your calls.
Yes.
But I'll let Charlie explain what that's about.
Right.
Stand by for that.
We'll be in safe hands.
You would have been watching the One Day International against South Africa last night?
I wasn't actually, no.
Okay, I was.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise. Our household was. There was a great catch.
I've heard about this.
We're going to get a copper.
The cop catcher.
Yeah, it was fantastic. We'll
the
have a chat
catcher.
With him.
Frank will be on the line. We might get to I Call Bullshit. Are you sitting on a special?
I am. All I'm definitely sitting on I Call Bullshit times four.
All right. Daniel Craig claims he's mastered binge drinking. We'll decide who's mastered binge
drinking.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you very much. There's so much more to talk about. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. Black and white TV, does it still exist?
Apparently so. And it's fascinating. This fascinates me. We'll talk about watching colour television, black and white.
Crikey. All right.
I'll go about that. Hello, Dave.
How are you, guys?
Dangerous.
All right. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Dave, obviously, I don't know what you did on the weekend. I went to Jane's for dinner.
You
were busy. You were hosting a festival.
A community festival, yeah.
You were serving the community.
Yeah, I was.
Can I ask, are you going to make a start on mobile?
Mate,
are you?
Have a look. This cookie duster is really sprouting right now.
It's quite yeah.
What do you think, Joan?
What is it?
Where is it? That right there. The hairy
don't ask
thing.
Me what I think.
Come on, what? Yes or no for the moustache?
You're doing it for a good cause.
Movember.
Oh.
So what you're saying is,
I like you clean shaven.
Do you?
But I know why you're doing it, so I approve.
You look a bit washed out.
It's shocking.
Washed out?
No, he doesn't.
I need a bit of boot polish, I think.
You don't look well. Up a bit.
No, I'm feeling fantastic. I've never felt better.
Mick, how did you go?
I went to your place for dinner. That was an eye opener.
Well, really? I remember.
What a nut house that is.
Well, I just have to warn you, it is a nut house.
By the way, that's not my Mitcoin dinner.
It is your Mitcoin.
No, the Mitcoin dinner is where I get to bring a stripper.
Oh, okay. No. That's still on. I'll wait till everyone's away for that.
Well, now.
Oh, no, and we had the bottle of wine that Andy Lee gave us.
It was for me, and then Jane crowbarred it.
It was a $300 bottle or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, a bit
more than that. It was a good dinner. It was a couple of highlights.
Thank you.
The smoke alarms went off in the middle of
Jane.
While you were cooking.
Oh, yeah, I know, because it's not. I'm not used to the house that we're in and.
But I'm in the house you're in.
Steak. a bit smoky.
You've got a drink in one hand, the tongs in the other. Yep. Next thing you know, the fire brigade are on the doorstep.
And then we just go, it'll turn off in a minute.
Let's just juke this one out. That's when I thought you would, and by the way, the food was beautiful. What a great cooking show you would do.
The slackest cooking show.
The slackest show, kind of half cut. That's what I'd call it. Half cut in the kitchen with Jane.
If only.
And you'd have it singing in one hand, a drink in the other.
But didn't I?
The alarm's going off.
Well, I served us. I'm going, okay, gentlemen. So Rob and Mick sat down. I just sat down. And then a child appears at the door and says,
oh, my God.
Mum, what are we going to have for dinner? I forgot to feed the children.
She forgot to feed the children.
Jane.
It's about 9:30 by now, and they've walked their way in.
There's so many of them.
And they were all up when I left. Every single one of them was up when I left at about midnight.
I was starving, that's why.
One of the kids comes in and goes, are you cooking something for us? She flips them a lobster and sends them down the road to get two large pizzas. Oh, here you go, kids.
Yeah.
Quick head count.
Take your time. Watch the roads.
They were all up. when I was up. Some of them getting out of bed. Some were getting out of bed. Some were coming home.
One had been to the races.
Wow. One had been to the races. Your daughter had been to the races. And this is a conversation that was had. How'd you go? My feet were sore. I had to take my shoes off. Oh, when?
Yeah. Was that at the end of the day?
On the way in.
Oh, come on.
Now, I have heard it all, but on your way into the race, if you're carrying your shoes on the way into the race,
it's not a good sign. No. She's got a lot to learn. That's her first races, so, you know.
Well, it was good.
Good luck to them.
And, of course, in the middle of this is a dog the size of a Shetland pony.
Who's trying to get on your lap.
Just running around the joint, which
welcome
is awesome.
Welcome to my circus. That's all I can say.
Well, it was very good, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you
should
very
get
much.
Your own
TV show.
You in a cooking show would be very watchable. It'd be the hardest one since Floyd. Do you remember Floyd?
I do indeed.
So Floyd was the first real cooking show. It was on the ABC ages ago, and Floyd liked to drink. And I spoke to people who worked on that program, and the hardest thing was continuity because he kept taking sips out of his wine. So if you, it's fun. If you want to go back and watch Floyd.
Well, it's the only cooking show that I could base myself on, I reckon. There you go. We finally cracked it.
Half Cut with Kennedy in the Kitchen.
I like it.
Nothing like Peter Russell Clark, is it? You know, the swearing.
We'd have him on.
He gets a bit fruity, doesn't he?
He does get fruity.
In the kitchen.
Well, I'll just say we're in that territory towards the end.
We've got
some great prizes to give away, guys. Just to give you the heads up a little later for your favourite caller, we've got the Ego Push Mower Kit and Hedge Trimmer.
I've seen these out in the corridor.
This is the Ego 56-volt outdoor power equipment. It's worth over $1,000.
Whatever.
Oh,
no, I'm just saying.
There's nothing sweeter than mowing lawn.
Can I take one of those?
You don't have a
You don't got lawn. You wouldn't mow.
Oh, I need one to shave Dave's mow at the moment. Ego. Seriously, are you going to do it or not? You've made a lot of promises.
I've started.
You should get going.
I'm on my way.
He's tough.
It's Movember 12. Hey, we're here thanks to Ovo Boom prepaid mobile broadband, supercharged internet anywhere.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Last night, watching the telly, watching the cricket.
I've seen this. It's brilliant.
There couldn't be anything sweeter than if you're actually on the field and play as a cricketer.
You know, this is every child's dream.
It is every
being
child's
discovered when they
it's
once
like
hit
getting
into
a hole
the
in
outfield
one, I imagine.
And you take the big catch and everyone roars.
Oh, who's a lucky bloke? Senior Constable Frank Boonstra. G'day, Frank. We got you on the line. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Frank, well done, mate. Big moment and cometh the hour, cometh the man. And there you were in the outfield. Bang! Sean Marsh has let one rip. And describe what happened from your end.
No, it was pretty huge. I was lined up at that side of the ground with a few of the boys from work, and I'd called it about 30 seconds earlier. I said, Marshy's just had a look over here, fellas. I said, I reckon he's sweating on a short ball. I said, I'm getting ready. And then they just laughed because... After we knocked off it, they couldn't believe it. They said, you called it and you took it.
So okay, can we have a listen to the moment that we're talking about from last night's one dayer? Here's Cop Frank in the outfield taking a classic.
That's put away. Yeah, put away nicely from Sean Marsh.
Oh, he's over.
And the big fella goes over. And he knows it's a great catch.
Good on him.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well played.
I might be on the job, but I'm taking the catch.
And the high fives, too.
Oh, there he is, the big man in blue. How'd you go? Did you pull up all right?
I've pulled up well. I put a new pair of pants on that morning. And it took the knee out of it, but...
But they're police-issue pants, surely. They're not going to make you pay for those.
No, that'll all be fine. I just thought that was pretty funny. But,
and you've been named in the 12 for the next match, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Well, that's a dream come true.
At least on drinks, Frank. Hey, you've played cricket in the past before, and did you say that some of your mates, were they on the opposite side on the hill, were they watching?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I walked around that side of the hill early in the evening and I hadn't seen some of these bikes for like 20 years.
Oh, really?
I walked around and I thought, oh, that's Scotty Pearce over there. And I've had a look and then a whole group of them have had a booze cruise down the Hobart the previous day. And they looked a bit under the weather, so I've caught up with them and then I've gone over to the other side and pulled that off. And when I've done the... Raised the fingers, both fingers into the air. That was mostly aimed at them.
See, I love stories like this, Frank, and it was such a great moment. They're great. You must feel fantastic.
Oh, yeah, no, it's been a pretty cool day. So,
Nothing better would have been if Bill Laurie was commentating at the time, I reckon. I've got him.
True, that would have capped it off. And I thought, I think it was Warnie and Brendan Julian did a pretty good job. I'm pretty happy with that.
But so. I'd have to ask quickly, when you got the ball and you caught the ball, you had it for a few moments. There was no ball tampering from you. no corrupt police action here. You didn't capsicum spray it at all or anything.
No, I didn't. I wanted to make sure I got it up in the air as quickly as I could, so no one could accuse me of spilling it.
Can I tell you just one story in relation with me and the police and cricket? When I was in the under-12s playing for Mount Eliza Cricket Club, our minibus going to the ground broke down, and a divisional van, a divvy van, pulled up. And the cops got out, and Frank, they said, okay, everyone in the back. So we put literally like most of the team in the back. When we pulled up at the ground, you should have seen the look on the other team's faces as the Mount Eliza Cricket Club just piled out the back of a divvy van. So there's a rich tradition of the cops at the cricket keeping us safe. And managing to get involved as well. Frank, anyone you want to thank? Anyone you want to send a cheerio to?
Oh, no, it's just been great. Thanks for having me on. It's been quite an enjoyable day.
You're based in Hobart, Frank? Where's your station based?
I'm at the academy. I work in training.
So okay, great. You've been with the force for 30 years, I believe.
Yeah, 30 years in October. So I was a bit nervous when he middled that because I thought, oh, I've had a fair bit on it.
And how are you with the other police? Are they all good job, Frank? Well done. Did you get a rise out of this?
Oh yeah, I've been sledged flat out.
Yeah, of course I did.
Fantastic.
That vest that we wear is about 12 kilos. So. Oh. I actually look a little bit bigger than I am.
Oh, you're talking yourself up. Did the vest
give you confidence? Because
oh, it did. Yeah, I thought I can wear this and I'll be fine. Yeah.
It's bulletproof, so it should be able to do okay with a Sean Marsh crack. Well done, Frank.
All right, cheers.
You should be the next police commissioner, chief of police, as far as I'm concerned.
And make sure you and all the boys listen to Triple M there in Hobart.
Yeah, that's right.
We will. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Frank.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
I was reading on the news the other day on the interweb that 7,000 UK households are still watching their television in black and white.
Well, I don't understand that.
The 7,000 really? Households have still got a black and white TV. Now, it must be different in the UK. You must be able to, the licences must
have
be
a license
different to here yeah. so that you can still watch, because there's no way you can watch a black and white television because we're analogue. You can't do that.
That's right.
So people are choosing and admitting to watching black and white television still, which I don't understand because, wow, the day that colour TV came to our house.
Oh, it was a game changer.
Oh.
That was a game changer.
I remember.
Do you remember
like,
what we were watching?
The door to the den was shut. It was 1975.
Right.
And Dad said, girls, welcome to the world of Rankerina on TV. And he opened the door.
With
and
a gong.
It was the Brady Bunch. It was the first scene. It was Carol in the kitchen.
In colour.
And it was the bright orange kitchen, you know. And
you would have been able to see the panel on the car.
Exactly. I saw Alice's blue uniform came up. What about you?
I remember the first day we got a colour TV, I remember running around. I wasn't even in the house, but when we came home from school, run around to the side house. We had a sunroom and the TV was in the sunroom, and peering through the glass window to see it was actually there. It was, and then went in, and because it was after school, it had all the Looney Tune cartoons on, and a cartoon in vivid colour.
Wow.
It was just like
it's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Well, we were talking.
Of course, the width of the TV was about 3 feet.
Because they're so big.
There was no, what do you call it, thin line.
No. No flat screen.
No flat screen. And no remote control.
We originally didn't. It was like, getting up to turn to channel? There's only, three channels.
My grandfather had the first remote control I ever saw, for a TV I ever saw in Australia.
Really?
And it had one of those, those old telephone style cords?
Yeah.
The twirly ones, which you put into the front of the TV.
Yeah.
And it came back to a control panel the size of a shoebox, which basically had two buttons on and off.
That was the big remote control technology.
Wow, there it is.
Well, we were talking then in the office about what you still use that might be past its use by date. I mean, well, Dave and I still use CDs. Mm. I've got a CD wall.
DVDs as well.
Yeah. I have CDs down the coast. Do I just you? Can't help
I can't
it.
Give them up
Me
either.
Me neither.
And what about faxes? People are still... I don't know.
No faxes, but I occasionally get the urge to just go home and boot up my Amstrad.
Is that the computer? That was like the size of a room, wasn't it?
Well, the Amstrad was a ripper.
The Amstrad?
The Amstrad came off... When was that? Would have been
funny.
About early 90s.
Oh, I can't,
it was a good
I was a Commodore user when it came to computers.
Commodore.
Yeah.
Hey, look, give us a call on 133353. What are you still using that most people would think is obsolete?
Sure.
But, I mean, it could be a really old mobile phone that you still persist
I've still got the original clock radio I had when I was 15.
Have you
still
really?
Works. It still works.
You've got your old bomber jacket?
I've got my
old... got your old bomber jacket?
Yes.
So I'm going around to Santos soon for a VHS night.
Oh, really?
Really?
So whatever you can bring. He's going to set up a VHS
awesome.
And a video machine.
What
a
great
idea. You bring whatever you've got that's
on VHS
old,
that
on
you
VHS.
Want to show. Oh, my God, I've got so much stuff.
Oh, I'll be able to see some of my favourite pornos.
All right.
for the first time in about 15, 20 years.
Give us a call now, 133353. Yeah.
Yes, you bet. We'll take your calls right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
Taking your calls on what are you still using? After all these years.
Well, because black and white television, 7,000 people in the UK are still watching.
What can't you let go of?
Mm. We're thinking quite a few different things.
Sure.
And so are our callers. Hi, Lawrence. How are you?
Hey, Jane. How you going?
Yeah, Lawrence, what are you using that's probably a little old now?
My PS1.
Oh, PS1. Okay.
It's a PlayStation, is it? What is
it?
It
is.
PlayStation, yeah.
When was it first released?
Probably 1998.
So in gaming circles, that's like 1762. That
is
clearly ancient.
I'm guessing you can't play Fortnite on that.
What do you play?
No, you can't. But I play Shane Warne Krieger and Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah.
Crash Bandicoot.
Did that mean anything to you, Dave?
Crash Bandicoot, always popular. On the second-hand market, like PlayStation 1s go for a lot of money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People pay big money for those retro items.
That's the type of thing a nerd wouldn't know.
Apparently.
I've still got a Game Boy that works.
Hey,
Game Boy.
Yeah, you know, Game Boy.
Have you?
Yeah. Still works.
Is that a Nintendo Game Boy?
Yeah.
That would be worth a bit. But don't you have a whole series of some comic at home? Or some?
No, I...
Yes, Steve, what have you got?
No, you were talking about the cartoons. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm saying to you, you have every episode ever made of a certain cartoon.
Yeah, Top Cat.
Top Cat.
Got the Flintstones, Wacky Races.
So you can't let go of them?
No, I can't.
There you go.
All on DVD.
You didn't fess that up, did you?
Hey,
on what format?
DVD. Yeah, DVD.
DVD.
And some VHS. Yeah.
Thanks, Lawrence, for the call. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Jane. Hey, Mick. How you going?
Good.
Good, mate.
Yeah, I've got a... my car still has the old cassette tape radio in it.
Oh.
And I still play the cassettes on my way to work every morning.
Oh, that's cool.
Classic.
Is it the old mixed tape that you have from the day?
Sorry?
Old mixed tape that you had from ages ago?
No, not mixed tapes. I don't have any old ones, but I still have a bit of fun going to the recycled music shops and stuff, trying to find old albums and that kind of thing.
When the film comes out, just you get your pencil out and twirl the middles to put it back in?
Yeah, why not?
Hey, thanks, Richard, for the call.
Richard.
Hey, Con.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Tell us something that you use that's probably a bit obsolete.
Well, it's not obsolete yet, but I still use cash.
Oh, hey, that's not so funny. Not so many people have cash on them anymore.
Yeah, I know, and I get that line from the castle.
Oh, I thought, what is it with and cash? and you'd be of Italian background or Greek, Con?
Greek.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Well,
thanks for that, Con.
Sir, someone still uses cash.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's unheard of.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good. What are you still using?
I've got an 8mm film projector.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Oh. Did you get it out?
Well, my dad used to make home movies all the time, and it's quite nostalgic dragging them out and watching the old films when I was a little tacker.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Go ahead, Mick.
Well, I don't think there's a habit forming here.
Sure.
But the first porno I ever watched was on a
film projector.
On a film projector.
What? Well, where were you?
So at my neighbour's house, and their parents had gone away, and my neighbour, Andrew, goes, come here. And we fished. He goes, we fished. How the links, kids, listen up. This is the this is the links you had to go to watch a black and white style sepia tone old porno back in, this would have been 1980s, the earliest of the 1980s.
Were you in a garage or in the living room?
No, because his parents are away, so we set it up in the living room. So we project, we project against the wall. We set up the projector and it's going. But what about this? All of a sudden, the film stops going through and it burns out.
Oh, no.
So we've burned out the old man.
Porno.
The whole thing is, the room smells. Yeah. Everything's down. It's full of smoke. God. We have to, we pack it all up. Anyway, about a month later, Andrew got called into his, into his dad's office for a bit of a chat downstairs.
Well, what it says, though, about watching porn movies in the old days is, like, there was no hiding it. Like, it was so much setting up to do, and projected on a wall, so dad's got business to do.
Totally elaborate.
So elaborate.
Oh, man. Well, even the art of the porn stash is gone. Kids today will never know how hard it is to move around a body of work.
Of course. Thanks for that, John. We've got a Vicky. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. What's going on with old stuff still used?
Old stuff? Well, this is my great-grandmother's radiogram, so it only picks up AM channels. But funny story about it is I absolutely fell in love with it when she was alive, and it had a liquor cabinet in it, and I just loved that.
A radio with a liquor cabinet? Hey, that's...
Look at those days. Everything was attached to a liquor cabinet.
That's fantastic.
There was one in your car.
Yeah. It was pretty swish, and I plugged it in because I didn't think the radio worked. I hadn't seen it work in a long time, and I plugged it in, and because they've got all those coil things, they take ages to heat up.
Yep.
And so I plugged it in and thought, oh, it doesn't work, and then about an hour later, after a couple of drinks, or three, it started working, and we thought it was bloody possessed.
Well, that's a good one, Vicky. Thank you very much for the call.
Vicky. You're going to give her...
I tell you what, we're talking about the liquor cabinet. How put $100 worth of De Bordoli wines in that radiogram of yours there. Delicious Rosé, Rosé by De Bordoli. Coming your way, Vicky.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. One more call. I think we'll go to Wendy.
Yep.
Hi, Wendy. What's still going on in your house?
We're still using a rotary phone, a telecom rotary phone from 1978.
Oh, wow.
But there's an issue with that with all numbers these days, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you don't dial out much on it because if you ring a mobile phone number, it takes you half an hour.
You get writer's cramp.
And if you make a mistake, you've got to start again.
Oh.
So the kids think it's hilarious. But we just use it to receive calls because you've got to have the landline for the internet.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Well,
hey, thanks,
done, Wendy.
Thank you, everyone, for your calls. That was ripping. Yeah, good to hear.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, I've got a Will. My leg.
Oh, he's got a problem. He's got a problem under brakes. So this is a change for the lead. David Reynolds has got a problem in the car. New leader of the race is Craig Lowndes.
Okay, mate, you do what you can to shake it out. Drink as much as you can, please. Drink as much as you can.
Hey, come on again, Luke Reddick.
Reynolds is now surrendering to the pain, Greg. Having led very large chunks of the day.
So devastated. We had the fastest car all day. And then my leg was cramping big time. When Lowndes passed me, I was at like 50% throttle. I couldn't tell if I was on the brake or on the throttle. My body gave up after that. And then I just can't believe it.
Big welcome to Dave Reynolds. Dave, how are you? What's it like listening to that back? Sorry to do that to you,
but
we need to start somewhere.
Hi, Dave.
It sucks. Hey, Jane. It sucks big time. I can't really watch the race back.
Have you not seen it back at this moment?
No, I won't watch it back for a while, probably.
That's not a bad idea to do that. Do you know what I was saying I watched the entire Bathurst this year from the beginning. Very early on in the race, you set out, your co-driver took over for a while, and you fell asleep in your chair.
Yeah.
And the commentators were saying, look how relaxed Dave is.
No,
what a cool guy. He's so just... And I went, I don't think that's a good sign. It's pretty intense doing what you're doing, and that's pretty telling. Can you talk us through what you were feeling?
So, like, Bathurst week is the biggest week of the year for us. Like, I started doing media commitments on Sunday. I've got absolutely smashed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday being the reigning champion the year before, and never actually had to deal with anything like that in my life. So by the time I drove the car on Thursday practice, I was exhausted.
You're knackered.
Exhausted. And then we had the whole rigmarole of just the track itself is mentally challenging to drive. The cars are always, they're lively. They're not very easy cars to drive on the limit. So we had practice, then qualifying. Qualifying was one of the most epic qualifyings of the year because we haven't had a lot of dry running for the whole week.
Yeah.
And so we had to go basically straight out there and go like so committed on the limit. And yeah, that was tough. Slept badly Friday night, terrible, because I know my car was good and I was getting the itch again. I'm like, oh, you know, I could potentially win this. So that was in the back of my mind.
Yep.
Top 10 shootout, extra stress, extra pressure, put a really good lap together to go pole. And it was probably the worst thing for me at that time because I had extra commitments to do, the extra stress, had another terrible night's sleep, and woke up for the race on Sunday, and I was absolutely cactus.
Okay.
We do a 20-minute warm-up in the morning. I don't remember doing it. Yeah, it was bad.
Okay.
I knew I was in strife.
There's lessons here, isn't there? And obviously, and it's an interesting point you make, driving a car over those distances in a carnival like that is enough on your plate to add in and around it, all that other stuff, which doesn't sound like much, but we do it. You know, when you launch something like a new show or an album and everyone wants a piece of you, it is absolutely exhausting. You're mentally in another place.
And you take you.
If there's a learning experience, you're going to have to cut that.
You did it the hard way.
You're going to have to go in. Put your blinkers on and just go. I'm in my car.
And everybody has to get it. You know, all the marketing people, all the agents, everyone will just have to say, look, there's a limit to what these guys. These guys can only do good for you when they're winning races and when they're committed and they're at their best.
But can I ask you, when did you know you had a problem?
Probably about 10 laps in.
Yeah.
It's 161 laps and about lap 10, I was leading the race. Not good feeling. And I started to like dwindle in concentration, like I'm only 10 laps in. Usually that happens at the end of the race when you've exhausted all your limits.
That's 10 laps in.
And I was like, oh, I was starting to get tunnel vision and blurry vision and stuff. And
it's a super mature, grown up, professional decision to say, I best not go on.
Well, it got to the point where, like, I was spasming that bad on the throttle that I couldn't even reach 100% throttle
and
drive in a straight line.
There's a camera on you the whole
time. That
happens
in my golf cart on the way to the clubhouse.
It's a
massive story, and it's one that we need to address. And what really annoys me is I really handed it over to a massive arsehole. What's his name? Who won it? It Craig. Really,
oh, Lounsey.
Lounsey swooped.
Oh, yeah, what's he ever done?
As per you, takes the chockies. I suppose if there's any consolation, it's at least he got good farewell.
There was two good stories to come out of that race. Mm-hmm. Myself and my team and Luke going back to back, or Lowndes having his last full time drive win.
Yeah,
of course.
We
always say the mountain picks who it wants to win.
Ah.
It's got this mysterious sort of vibe about it.
He could have done a shoey for you or something. You know,
Dave, we're really proud of you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Mate. You lost no friends over that one.
I think
everyone who knows anything about the caper knows exactly what was going on. In the meantime, what's your partner done? She's gone and beaten someone up in the ring.
She's gone undefeated, 1-0.
1-0. Can we get her in to have a chat?
She'll
do you
come
mind?
And tell
are you coping?
Yeah, I'm glad to. I think she's given it up, so I'm happy.
Okay, well, let's find out more.
Tahan joins us right after this with Dave Reynolds.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
David Reynolds is with us and Tahan Lufat joins us as well.
And we've got Tahan in here and you look like you don't have any bruising, anything on you. You've been suffering any injuries because you have won your very first boxing fight. Congratulations, because
thank
we've
you.
Been hearing about this for a while along the way. Dave hasn't always given it the thumbs up.
But concerned partner. Yeah. Like, you know what he is? He's like an astronaut's wife waiting for his partner to come home safely when you get in the ring and it's
well,
hard
I had to tell him to go away at one point because I said I was having like an anxiety attack before I was going to fight and he was next to me. I'm like, you have to go away because I can feel your nervous energy and you're making me like even more stressed out.
She's yelling at me before the fight.
Quickly talk us through your fight and how it went. How long does it go for that you were there in the ring?
Well, they changed it on me because it was meant to be three one-minute rounds.
Yep.
It went for a minute and a half. Three one-and-a-half-minute rounds.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like a lot until you've fought
the
round.
The first round I felt it. I was like, yeah, I've got this. I'm so fit. And then I was like, this is a really long minute. And then David's like, it wasn't a minute, it was a minute and a half. But I think the fact that I was so scared, made me win because I was like, ah, duck that, move, nah, so get scared. Away from me. Yeah, I was so scared.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And what's up next? So who's you taking on next? Mm.
Apparently, I'm retiring. David's put me to retirement.
Forced retirement.
Well, that means but you are undefeated.
It's undefeated. An undefeated record.
Yeah, but I did get an itch for it. Like, as soon as I got so much adrenaline, it was really... It was so much fun.
Maybe just use the punching bag at the gym.
Maybe I'll keep up the training.
Put it in the heavy bag with Dave's face on it.
Yeah. You can just punch me at home. I don't care.
Now, what did we hear about the fight? Did you feel terrible after beating up another woman?
Tan didn't want us to say this.
I don't want it to be like condescending or anything, but I did kind of feel a bit bad, and I noticed that the girl didn't have proper boxing shoes, so I gave her some freebies that I got.
What is condescending? I would ask you about that story. That's a ripping story.
I think it is a ripping good story on you. Because it's really, you know,
that's awesome.
It's the way chicks fight.
Could you buy Dave some? Could you buy Dave some shoes? He's in his thongs.
There's a story about this.
He's in his thongs today.
I have bought him new shoes. He refuses to wear them. He wears his thongs and he wears the dirty old shoes still. I don't understand it.
Tahan, I think being the supportive partner was really important on the day at Bathurst, and we could see that you're in the garage. Talk us through how you went through and how you knew how to sort of behave around Dave and what he wanted you to do. How did you cope with that?
Well, I still didn't know how he was feeling, but I was told one of the pit lane reporters, Rihanna, she came up to me and she's like, I can hear Dave on the radio. He's having a really bad cramp. And I was like, shit. So, am I allowed to say
that? Yes,
well.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So yes,
I was like,
you are.
Crap. And then I know the team doesn't have Powerade and he prefers Powerade. He doesn't like the powdered stuff. So I had to run next door to Nissan and I was like, do you guys have Powerade? And then they didn't have the Powerade. So I went to a Renee Winterbottom came down and she's like, I've got the Powerade at Thickford. We'll get you the Powerade. So they got Powerade and we're like mixing up a bottle for him. So if he did come out. And then everyone
and
was crowding him.
You had to chug that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, but I was
didn't
gone.
Help.
You're gone.
It was already too late. Yeah. But yeah, all I did was just console him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really know. I didn't know what to say to you. I just said, look,
I
would hurt
getting
more.
Emotional now.
I was getting emotional even before. Oh. It's so silly.
Did you have a chance to speak to him on your own, or was there just too many people around at that point?
There was one point where they actually did film it. I didn't know they were filming. I did actually cuddle it. When everyone had left, I leaned down to you and I was whispering in your ear and I was just you still did amazing. You did really, there's so many positives from this weekend.
I don't remember that bit.
Yeah.
What happened, okay?
I said to you it would hurt more if you didn't win the year before, so
would have hurt more. Yeah.
Hey, you're both. You're a great couple. We love seeing you. Stop doing all this high achieving now. Will you come on? Just be normal.
Now, on that note, it is a long season for you guys. I mean, I love watching, and it is a long, long season. Are you? You're coming close to the end. Have you got plans? You got something you're going to do? And
my boss Betty's taking us to Amsterdam.
Oh, can I come?
It's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Yeah,
you'll love
never
it.
Been.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we might
it's
go
great.
Skiing before that as well. And then we're talking about going to the Bahamas or something, somewhere warm.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. I'll be away for
take a tour group.
High achieving holidays.
Well, it's been great, and we've really enjoyed the two of you coming. We're off soon as well, but thank you both for coming in. And and Dave, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You've got to come back next year.
Absolutely,
we love catching up. You're a proper character. You're decent people,
and a real champion too.
Good on you, mate. Absolutely,
Kennedy Malloy,
Jane Kennedy, and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it promises to be a cracker. We might reopen the file marked I Call Bullshit.
Oh, I think so. Monday's a good day to do that.
It's a good day to do it. Have you got something for us?
I have. Women's magazines are out. That's all I can say.
That's that segment done and dusted.
That's right. We want to take any other tweets you have, any other questions, anything you might want
Daniel
to ask
Daniel Craig
us?
Might get a mention. Daniel Craig reckons he's mastered binge drinking. I'll be the judge of that.
Sounds very interesting.
Coming from an open class black belt like myself.
That's very true.
But why don't we start at the top with our special guest? It's Charlie Pickering, everyone. Yeah. Hello,
hey.
Charlie.
Good afternoon, Charlie.
Friend of the
Hello.
Show. We enjoy having you on.
I'm officially a friend of the show.
You are a friend of the show.
So I struggled for friends at high school, but finally I've got them.
It comes with a secret handshake.
It does.
It comes with a whole ceremony. We'll show you. It's a bit eyes wide shut.
It's very culty.
I think you'll enjoy it.
A healthy amount of workplace harassment. That's good.
Well, why not?
Delightful.
Hazing,
all in good fun.
Amazing. Now, congrats on the new show.
Yes, hey, well
thank you
done.
Very much. Thank you.
And it's great because, honestly, people have just warmed to it immediately, which is what you want on a Wednesday night of that on the ABC. Works well, yeah?
A lot of pressure. That's a big night on the ABC.
What's the topic this week? What's this week?
This week is a drought like we have never seen before. So it's a situation where it has not rained for 4 years in Australia.
It's not necessarily a hypothetical.
No, it's actually just 4 years in the future. but it's actually fascinating. The scenario plays out and it gets to the point that we are having conflict over water in Australia.
And who's involved in Wednesday night's show?
Wednesday night, South Australian Premier Jay Weatherall, who himself has negotiated water deals and knows what he's talking about.
Oh, he'd be a good person to have on board.
Sue McCluskey, who is a cattle farmer who knows about
I'm
the importance
aware
of
water. Sue, yes.
And the wonderful Denise Scott. Is non-stop joy. It's just absolutely. If you're ever stuck in a drought, you want to be stuck in a drought with Denise Scott.
If you're ever stuck in a lift,
yeah.
I would grab Denise.
Can I say this? And I always thought this many, many years ago. The corporatisation of water, which is essentially something you need to survive, is potentially the step too far. Because I know corporations generally work, and the scarcer the product, the more valuable it tends to be.
Absolutely.
And in their hands.
That sounds very cynical of you, Mick.
Well, I told you about the story, and you'd know this as a, what do we call Jane, as a stamp collector? What's the term?
Philatelist.
You can't say philatelist on radio. I've told you this before. But I tell you the story of the man who had the rarest stamp in the world. There was two of them, and he had one. He bought the other and then tore it up. So he had now had the one.
Wow.
Now, if you look at water as a
commodity.
As a commodity, the corporate asset. I'm just saying, if I own all the water, anyway, I'm just saying, I'm an arbinger of doom.
Mickey, because all you have to do is look at all the other great things that have been privatised and how no one gets charged too much for them. That's why our power prices are so low.
That's why the lights are off in the studio.
That's why our phone bills aren't high. That's why our internet is so awesome.
It's
excellent. Best internet, guys. Well done, Australia.
Excellent work.
I just love how, we're talking about internet.
Yeah.
And we compare ourselves to other countries like, our internet's slower than Slovenia. like that. And you go, that's bad. But then again, I know nothing about Slovenian internet. It might be great. Maybe Slovenia has the best internet.
But it's got to be better than...
Anything has to be better
than here. We're in the middle of Australia, literally in the Northern Territory when we're... And
Yundaboo.
Best internet service coverage we've had, 10 times better than what we've ever got in major cities.
In my house at home.
Yes.
So why? Why? How did this happen?
I think they're very close to Pine Gap.
They are.
I'm not sure. But something seemed to be working in that part of the world.
I think you're right
there. Which was very good indeed.
Hey, we were talking about things that people use still that might be obsolete.
Yes.
Were you going to talk about something like that you might have gone to?
No, but I can.
I can.
It's up to you.
Up the wrong tree?
I'll give you a choice. I'll tell you what. Door number one.
Yes. I like this game.
I got two things. I hate to give the listeners a peek behind the curtain. The wizard showing you behind the curtain.
Lift the skirts, please.
Okay. So number one is stuff that's not around anymore that was crap that you miss.
Yes. Okay.
And the other one is. Laws that we need that we don't
laws
have.
That we need.
I laws, like
that,
laws we need. That we need.
Laws that we need.
Laws that we need.
Have you got one?
Okay. Yeah, I've got
one. Do you get the ball rolling and we might get our audience,
I want them to call. I want them to join
in. Okay,
great. Because these have to be laws of the
people.
What's
yours?
Mine is this. At the baggage carousel at the airport.
Yes.
Everyone has to stand back a metre from the baggage carousel.
Yes.
It's not that hard. If you all stand up, no one can see, and when your bag comes along, people get hurt, you can't get at your bag. We're living in a society. Take one step back, and then anyone can get their bag when it comes, but we need punishment.
We're not animals.
I'm not knuckled about this.
Yeah, we need punishment. Everyone stands a metre back. If you stand closer, you don't get your fucking bag.
And if you're...
I had to censor myself there. I'm so worked up about this.
And if your child steps over that mark, or touches the belt that's moving, they get put in a box and sent very far away.
Just shipped somewhere random.
Ship them away.
Next flight out, they're on it. Next flight out, I'm into that. Bubble wrap them and ship them.
Bubble wrap them. I like that law.
Do you have one?
I do, but it's also a travelling law.
Yeah, fine. I'm happy with that.
When you're in your seat, your overhead luggage goes in your overhead.
Oh, yeah.
Don't put it in someone else's. Don't move anybody. Don't touch my stuff above. Don't push it to the back. Don't have a huge bag. Just everybody have the right bags. Have your bag in the overhead.
Cool. I've got a good one too, a travel one. Can I do a travel one?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Can you have your overhead luggage ready to go? There's nothing more frustrating to me when everyone's queued up to go.
The ditherers.
And everyone else is on their way. And then some guy casually gets up, starts rummaging around. Yep. There's a gap now between the last
and puts a jacket on and then rolls up his headphones.
Just think ahead. Oh. Just think ahead a bit.
Come on.
Come on.
Get these laws. All right. Okay, they're all travel,
but there's other laws everywhere. I'll tell you another one.
Yeah, I've got, yeah.
Compulsory courtesy wave. When 100%. In traffic. If you let someone in traffic, they have to give you a courtesy wave. Otherwise, you get a fine.
Jail.
Imprisonment for a failure to courtesy wave. Is it so hard?
Give us a call now, 133353.
I'll tell you right after this.
All right.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Charlie Pickering is here as well. We're taking your calls on 133353. New laws.
It's been raging in here. Yeah. We've come up with a whole legislature of new laws. It'll be hard to get them through in
a
this
new
session.
A new arm of government. A fourth arm of government.
I was there. There's so many airport ones. I was saying, and I don't really
Just quickly, we're talking to Charlie Pickering. We are. Show tomorrow tonight.
Yes.
Is Wednesday night, 9 p.m, ABC. And this week's topic again is...
Is a drought.
Drought.
Like the world has never seen.
And you've got to solve the problem.
Yeah.
We're going to build a dam or a dike or something. Did that come up?
You literally have no idea where this one ends up. It's an incredible
Excellent.
End. An incredible end.
And Charlie has brought with him topics as well.
Yes.
And it is, what laws should there be that currently don't exist?
We're
that we
missing
need?
Some laws.
There are some laws that we need.
Let's start with Ryan. Okay. Ryan, what's the law you'd like to see implemented immediately?
Oh, it has to be made immediately. You cannot charge for tomato sauce.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Outrageous.
I've travelled abroad in other countries. It's free.
It's multiple. Have as many as you want.
Yes.
And mustard and mayonnaise and pepper and salt.
It should be like the air we breathe.
100%, Ryan. That's ripping big ticks. Hello, Gary.
All right, I like it.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What's a new law, mate?
Mate, this one might be more... what I'm talking about with this one, because I've got a 64 Holden.
Yes.
And I think that for collector cars, it's going to be better off if we pay no rego, but you put a couple of cents per litre on your fuel, so it's a user pays system.
All right. I know what you're talking about. Now, because we should be taking advantage of the fact that I had a 64 EH Holden, and this was...
A classic
this
car,
this was
you're
born
saying.
Before the era of engineered obsolescence was brought in. So your car that you buy today is designed to fall apart within 6 years. So
you
go buy another one. My one's still on the road. You know why? Because it's got four fuses. He can drive it with no water in the radiator, and it just doesn't
That's
stop.
That's so interesting.
So we should be rewarded...
For having
not
a worthy
chewing as much of the world's resources.
Hey, Gary, that's a good one.
Like. Yeah, I think that's all right.
I like that, Gary.
All right, well done. Marty.
Marty, what is it?
All right, so these people, again, with the airlines who just can't follow common social practice. if they're sitting in row 27 and they get to that sign that says 15 or beyond, get on the back of the plane, and they go, nah, I'm getting on the front.
Yes.
They're going to fight the tide all the way to the back. They should be banned for life.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I'm just feeling so white-knuckled about these airport rules. Marty, that's awesome. Thank you.
This is going to be the most highly regulated industry in the world if we get our way.
As it should be. Because they're manners and common sense. Yeah. That's all we're saying, manners. Matt, what do you reckon?
Mine's a traffic one.
Yeah.
If I'm stuck at a red light and the car in front of me doesn't go when it goes green, they're too busy on their phone or... changing the station or something, the light goes green and they don't go. If they don't make it through quickly enough and then I get done for the red ticket, the red light, they should get the
they
ticket.
They should get to pay.
100%.
Yeah. Amen.
How often does that happen? How often does it happen?
All the time.
You start beeping.
So much more.
It's phones.
It's totally idiots on phones. You can see the movement and the panic and also the accelerator goes zoom.
But they generally tear off and make it round.
Correct.
And you're
and
left.
You don't.
Yeah. Oh,
hey, man. These are genius laws. Let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. What law?
Well, it's the zipper law.
Okay, I'm interested.
Please explain.
Relax, it's not about zippers like you think. It's when you're merging traffic and you're all slowing down and the people on the left are trying to get in and the people on the right are already on the road and you go left, let someone in from the left, let someone in from the right, let someone in from
the zipper rule.
The zipper rule, yes.
I get it.
Yes.
I like the zipper rule because it provides certainty. You know what's going on. If you go left and right and left and right alternating, like
order.
A zipper, everyone knows where they stand.
Less likely to have a smash.
Less likely to hesitate and waste everyone's time.
I'd like to see the zipper rule at Bathurst for overtaking.
Well, let's suggest it to Dave and his team.
The zipper rule, not bad.
I like it. Jason.
Yeah.
How are you going? Tell us a law you'd like to see.
My law is the respect your elder law. And what it entails is you queue up at the bar, there's two lines in front of one barman, the two people at the head of the line, they pull out their ID, and the youngest one buys the oldest one a drink.
Well, I'm all for it.
So am I. Okay.
I may become all for it over time.
Yes, there you go.
I've got a law for you.
Young man.
What's a law, Dave?
What about like you? Your nature strip joins your neighbours and you mow it. Like you mow the whole thing. You don't stop midway. You've got to mow the whole thing, if not murder.
Absolutely.
And do you take it in turns?
Did you say if not murder?
I think so.
It's very Breaking Bad on you, Dave.
And then does the other person have to do it the next time? Or?
Yeah, well, it's just
take it in turns, or when it's ready to go.
It's a neighbourly thing. I like this. We've still got really good calls coming through. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you going, Jane?
Yeah, Joe, what's your law?
If someone holds a door open, you, for the love of God, thank them.
Absolutely.
I think so too.
Thank you.
Yeah, agree.
That's very easy.
15 of them and then one of them could take the door for you.
Of course, because that happens sometimes in a bathroom situation. You hold open the door and there's people going through.
There's an outbreak of decency going on today.
Do you know what? Can I just add to that? And I think this is a skill being lost in the world. Let everyone out of the lift before you try and get in.
There you go. Isn't another one.
In this very building. In this very company where you're employed. Young, fit, healthy-looking people barging in.
Oh, they're in a hurry.
Before elder statesmen such as myself have exited.
Things to do. It's the busy, it's the click your fingers now generation.
We've all got stuff on.
All right, well done. I think we're done here.
We're done?
Mate, well done. Thank you for that. You always bring in a great
topic. Changing the world, Charlie.
Fixing the world one mic break at a time.
We still haven't forgotten your promise, which is you are going to go mano a mano with Jane's husband, Rob, in a dishwasher stacking. Mm. Two men enter, one man leaves style.
We need to get it sponsored by dishwasher company.
Both of them.
We should absolutely get sponsored.
There you go.
Should you all be using the same equipment?
Same equipment, same plates.
It's the same casserole dish. It's the same amount of long-stemmed glassware.
I know that, but for the machine, do you get to choose your own machine?
Mm. Well,
or should it be standard?
I think there should be a no advantage rule. I think neither of us should have any idea.
Do you want to see Ferrari or Williams win? You know what I mean? Do you want to... You have to know your machine. You have to know how it works. You have to...
No, I think it should be a non-machine.
Going in blind. And have we established, are you two allowed to dirty the dishes first?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We're going to have a party.
We are.
You guys get to have a party.
And you stack out dishes.
We have lots of chocolate sauce. Yeah. And
it's got to be lots of wine glasses. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Clink, clink. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Wednesday night at 9 on ABC and ABC iView.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And a time for a little...
I call bullshit.
Yes, Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
I haven't done this in a while.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
What are we on to, Jane Kennedy?
Well, the magazines come in on Monday, and because we work in a radio station and we do a show that's sort of up to date, allegedly, I get all the mags on my desk.
You love it. It's like you've raided a dentist's waiting
room. I sort of have. I've been off them. Like, I haven't really read a proper magazine for such a long time. But
You have a love-hate relationship with them, don't you? You're kind of strangely drawn to them, and then you feel dirty and disgusting after you've read them.
That's true. You read me like a magazine. So I picked up this one, and I said to our office today, there are five stories on the front page of New Idea.
Yes.
And I'm calling bullshit on four.
Four of them.
And the only one that's true is no bake slices, quick and easy. How to make a cherry slice.
You prepared to go with that?
I am prepared. Would you like to hear
what the other four stories are? All right.
Diana's secret daughter.
Oh, come on.
I call bullshit.
Shock DNA test results. Now, I'm saying that over the time Diana, we knew her, we would have noticed if she was 9 months pregnant. And had a secret daughter. don't you think? See, it's tricky. When it's with a woman, you would know if she's given birth.
Did
you look after the other? Did you? Is the story? Did you read it?
I didn't read it.
Is that what it is? Is it a misleading headline or is this?
Didn't even read the story. Just the headline.
Cynical from you.
Oh, okay. This is just my view, by the way. Here's the next one. Still on the royals. Prince Andrew, and Demi Moore. We're in love.
I call bullshit.
Have they even met?
What's the...
Wow.
Who? I'm not even going to read the story on it.
Is Fergie involved?
Yes, she's furious. It says Fergie's fury. Still on royals.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, you ready?
By the way, I love the fact that they're still running Princess Diana's story.
And you go,
was there ever, they killed their own meal ticket.
Yes.
They chased their own meal ticket into a...
They've even put her on a picture of her, poor woman.
And all these years later, they are still earning money.
Isn't that outrageous?
Off Princess Diana.
Okay, next one. Princess Beatrice elopes.
I call bullshit.
Well, seeing as her sister Eugenie just got married, I don't think she's eloping, and I didn't see her with any boyfriend at the wedding. She had to sit next to her crazy mother at the wedding.
Can I ask you?
Go ahead. I've got one more up my sleeve.
Okay. Can I ask you, do people buy this magazine knowing that's bullshit?
Or
do they honestly go, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Diana's secret child.
I think that's why they still sell these mags. There's enough people to go, there could be something in it.
Well, the people just want to have a laugh and go, let's see how they've crowbarred this into some kind of story.
Possibly. They like seeing the photos too. There's always, because they always find if the story's bad against Camilla, they always find the ugliest, most unattractive, horsey-looking picture of Camilla they can find. All right, this is the last one I'm going to call out. Married at First Sight, Tracy. She was the bird who came in here.
Oh, yeah.
And Bachelor Richie, new couple.
I call bullshit.
Well, how do you know? That could be true.
You know what it'll be? They're both going to be on Bachelor in Paradise or something like that together. They're talking it up already. It's pre-publicity. I'm not reading the story. I'm speculating.
That's what
I'm thinking.
Can I do a couple?
Did you have one?
I do a couple?
Yes.
Dave is growing a moustache for November.
Bullshit.
How very dare you?
Come on, mate. When are you doing it? No. You said you were going to do it.
You've gone too far now. It's a weekend at least.
Thank you.
Hang on, 12
days of November. I said you like Mario Brothers today. So I thought it was a little unkind from one of the staff members.
Super Mario Brothers.
Is it growing down a bit like Chopper?
Is it going to happen?
I'm growing it.
What does Mrs. Dangerous think?
She hates it.
What do your children think?
Hate it.
Can you water it or something? Is there something you can do?
Have you got any more? What about the Daniel Craig story? What's that all about?
Oh, well, that's not really an I Call Bullshit. Sorry, yeah. I'm happy to do it here.
Oh, no, look,
I think we can do some more I Call Bullshit.
Okay.
What about Donald Trump
couldn't go to
the cemetery because there was low cloud and his helicopter couldn't get
there. I call bullshit.
The Queen is 92 and she rocked up on the weekend.
The Queen's 92, she rocked up. He's gone all the way from America to Paris, yet can't drive the last half hour.
To go to the cemetery.
Do you know what he did? Stay in the hotel and watch TV.
Do you know why he didn't do it? He can't get his hair wet.
That's
why the umbrella was up. He can't get that hair wet. Something explodes. It goes crazy. That's
everyone else was. Let's not forget the guys they are honouring.
Exactly.
Who are probably rain and mud. And by the way, being shot at.
Yeah.
All that you go and you can't.
Wow. Okay.
I'll tell you what we'll do. If you've got one, ring us up. We're not beholden to it. But if you've got anything you want to throw on the fire for I Call Bullshit, otherwise I will come back and tell you about Daniel Craig.
Thank you very much.
He's up to no good.
Is he? Good.
133353 is our number. Give us a ring. This is Kennedy Malloy. Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy driving you home.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Give us a ring.
I Call Bullshit.
133353 is the number.
He's underway. Just before we start, Michelle's on the line. Michelle, you've got something to add.
Hi, guys. I do. Yeah. Was that a new idea or a woman's day announced that Princess Eugenie had got engaged?
except it was exactly 2 years before she got engaged.
That is
I call
bullshit. Well, they were either first with the news, or they had a very good source.
But that's been going for so long. It's like Jennifer Aniston, pregnant, and they'd circle her tummy because she's just got a little, she might have had a drink or something. And
are you telling me she's never been pregnant?
No, she's never been pregnant. Oh, I agree, Michelle. God. It's outrageous.
What is wrong?
What about this one they're saying at the moment, that George Clooney and Amal are breaking up?
I call bullshit.
You really don't like Amal, do you? You really don't like it.
She's a humanitarian.
She does all right, and you...
So she says.
She's a doctor.
She makes letters.
makes you look a little lazy.
Her and her big causes. I don't think
Why would you
last.
Think that's... They're not... They're, you're
no, actually, I'm not
last.
Calling bullshit on that. I think
what?
That's going to end.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry to say it. I just think it's their lives are just too different. And George likes mucking around with Brad Pitt, and she likes being on the world stage with the UN. So I don't know.
What do you think of her fashion sense?
Girl. It's terrible.
She's a proper woman, though.
She is.
What's it? What do you mean? Why are not? What, am I a proper woman?
No.
Why am I a proper woman and she is?
No, you're not.
Oh, so unfair.
Is that because
she wears high heels to work?
Well, that's part of it. I'm just saying. Jane, you've so many things.
I'm a proper woman.
To so many people.
I could be.
Proper woman is not. You're not on the list. Hey, okay, I've got one.
Yeah. What's yours?
Federer catching a train to work.
I call bullshit.
What an idiot.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't get any
you
better.
Don't like
everyone
him, though.
Loves me. I'm the most perfect sportsman in the world. I think he's a cheating, crying baby.
I bet, hang on. No. I've said this to you before. He's one of the best blokes in the world of sport.
Oh, actually, see, this is stop. What he wants you to believe.
Because he is. He can't help it. He's a really good guy.
Ever since he won that cow, ever since he got that cow in Switzerland, he's become an obnoxious bore.
I'm sus now that he went on a train.
He cries a lot.
He's crying because he's put all his heart and soul into winning a Grand Slam. I mean, that's a lot of emotion.
You should be crying, wondering
love?
Where your moustache is.
He loves that Aussie.
You should be doing.
What's
looking
his
in
name?
The mirror and bursting into tears. Going,
No.
Where,
you've got to lay off the mo. Lay off the mo
it's
now.
It's good fun. Come on.
For you.
But what, Dave, why is he on a train and with Nadal and
his
best
What
buds,
country is he in?
On his way to get
what train was
a cheque for $5 million or something.
Where was he?
I don't know. I don't know the story.
It's very hard to drive into cities these days, so it's easy to get a train somewhere. When was the last time you were on a train?
Oh, please.
I go on trains
Billy.
All the time. I go on trains all the time. I do.
What, the
do
royal you? Carriage?
No,
an
the
overnight
royal
sleeper.
Carriage.
What?
As
the,
if.
What, in the bar card?
Oh, hey.
With the,
now, you, it's only Monday.
All right. I don't,
you can't peek today.
I apologise.
No, you mean you like, catch suburban trains?
I do catch suburban trains. Go to the footy, stuff like that, all the time.
Yeah,
go in the city.
I've got one for you.
Have you?
My fastidious note-taking system.
Yeah.
Here you go.
It's letting me down.
Is that it?
No. Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah, all right.
I call bullshit.
On this segment.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad call.
James Bond star Daniel Craig says he's mastered binge drinking.
Oh.
I call bullshit.
I'll decide who and when you've mastered big drinking.
What does he mean?
James Bond star Daniel Craig has said, he's just gone up in my estimation as possibly now the best James Bond. I've got this window of opportunity in pubs of about 30 minutes, he said, because he's famous. And he said he gets harassed. So what he does, he goes in and just chug-a-lug-lugs.
Oh.
The clock's ticking. It's like a pit stop. Bing, bang, boom. Waiter, check, please. Jeez. And he's out.
And then he can get out before he's harassed.
So he's mastered.
What's he boozing on?
Whatever he can get his hands
Lagers.
On.
Lagers.
I'm guessing.
With a chaser.
Martinis.
I'm guessing. Martinis, of course.
He's going to star in his new film, The Spy Who Glassed Me.
Oh my goodness.
There's some more in there. I just can't be bothered. At the moment.
You can't be bothered.
The Man with the Golden Pot.
There you go. Well, there's two. Go. Well done.
I did have them on my other notes.
All right.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You only burp twice. You're right, Dave.
Should we have a break?
Yeah.
I think so.
I call bullshit.
Your new way to drive home.
Kennedy Malloy.
Well, thanks to OVO Boom prepaid mobile broadband, it's supercharged internet anywhere.
Too fast. It's too... I'm telling you, I've heard this. OVO is... it's the first time this has ever been said in terms of internet speed. It is too fast.
Then we I think that's a selling point.
We need to slow it down.
I don't think so.
You can.
No. Just take a deep breath.
There needs some buffering somewhere along the line.
No, because it's an alternative to your fixed line internet. And
well,
it
that's
uses
dead as a
4G.
Dodo. Who wants that?
Nobody wants that. So people want it fast and they want to pay really good bucks for it.
But,
like,
but OVO have just gone mad.
Well,
I think this puts us. Like
I know they've gone mad. I know
it's ahead of its time. It shouldn't be. Have we thought of all the ramifications?
We have.
Yes.
And they're saving Australia money.
Yeah.
Well, I've investigated this.
Yes.
I did on the weekend. I was down at my 7-Eleven. At 3 a.m. on a Saturday. On a Sunday morning, right. 3 o'clock. But I was very insistent on them pointing out to me where the OVO was.
Yes. And you were able to buy one there.
This pie warmer could be hotter.
Yes. You must be so pleasant at 3 a.m.
Well, I was. I was almost like an in-store greeter.
Oh, wouldn't that be
lovely? Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to 7-Eleven. Can I direct you towards the OVO?
Yeah, somehow I don't think you'd be speaking like that.
Well, I did, Jane.
Can I tell you?
I'm putting in.
A few selling points.
You're probably at home, in bed, starfish, thinking everything.
Starfish?
Smoke alarm going
off. I don't sleep starfished. I'm like a little koala on the side.
Smoke alarm going off.
Beg your pardon. Hey, if you've got $49.95, shut up. Let me say this: $49.95 for 30 days, 50 gigabytes.
That's crazy. It's two.
250 gigabytes. $99.95.
250 GBs.
They've gone mad. What does GB stand for again?
Gigabyte. 250. I feel the need. The need for GB.
Absolutely. Order OVO Boom online at ovo.com.au.
GBs.
Or go to 7-Eleven.
Yep. Go to 7-Eleven.
Get your OVO mobile broadband.
Hold on, OVO. Calm it down a bit.
No, you
easy,
can't be fast
Tiger.
Enough.
Easy.
Right, this is Kennedy Malloy. Thanks to OVO. More after this.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Have you been paying attention back on the telly tonight, 8:30
Who's
on the 10
it's
and
the second
Network?
Last episode.
Oh, what?
Don't I get asked back for another one?
No, you've had your share, haven't you?
My go.
I've had my go. You've had your go tonight. Marty Sheercold. There you go. Denise Scott. Melanie Bracewell.
Ooh, that sounds like a good show.
Ed Cavalier and Sam Pang.
Pang's back, is he?
Pang's
he's always
back.
There.
I know. He was missing in action for some unknown reason. I think he was at a health farm.
Is that what he was?
No, he needs to go to a health farm.
He doesn't look well tonight.
No, he doesn't. Pang. I agree.
No, I've got a bad feeling about him.
What are you saying?
That's tonight, Channel 10, 8:30. You can see. Have you been paying attention?
Sure. Speaking of issues, danger. How can you get involved with us on podcasts?
What are you talking about?
Instagram? Can you get us
on Instagram?
Instagram.
Communicate with the show. Yeah.
If you're on Instagram. Mm.
You've got an Insta story for Kennedy.
Where the story is Dangerous Moustache Pathetic? And so far, yes, 63%, no, 37%. Percent.
That's a bit tough.
But they should have got at least done a picture where you've got a moustache. Is that an old one or is that when was that taken?
Do you need glasses? Because that's a really good mo going on. It's a little Ron Burgundy, a bit sort of the 70s sort of news anchor kind of style.
I think Ron Burgundy's being a bit complimentary to yourself.
Anyway.
Hey, on the weekend, of course, yesterday was the 11th of the 11th.
Yes, remember it.
And there was a special that yourself, Mick, you put together with Marshy.
And yourself.
Well. Yeah, I was involved. For Soldier On.
Yeah, for Soldier On, which is a great organisation. And we had some wonderful responses.
We've got great feedback from people.
Simon Kelly, can I read? He goes, hi guys, your Remembrance Day special for Soldier On means more to me as a 34-year veteran. Being allowed to board a commercial flight first, which is a well-intended thing from Virgin, but I think I can speak on behalf of most vets. They're very humble and shy people and would not like to be seen necessarily to be getting special treatment. I'll tell you what you can do, Virgin. Why don't you get on board with Soldier On, give them a call, pony up and partner with them corporately and go, what can we do to help? And you could be do something great.
One of the things that resonated with me when we spoke with Damien Tomlinson, who's a commando, and he said, here's something simple you can do on Remembrance Day or any of the day. If you see a digger who sees someone, give them a nod.
Yep.
That's all. You don't have to rush up. You don't have to shake hands, do anything. Just a nod, hey, well done.
Yeah,
that's
indeed.
All. And I thought that was really
It is true.
Cool.
Adam Douglas, fantastic show, guys. I was driving around this afternoon in the sunshine and couldn't help but feel thanks and gratitude for the opportunity given to us by servicemen and women Margaret Kenny, wonderful insight, insightful show, guys. I've been bawling my eyes out. Soldier on. Another deserved charity, which will benefit when I'm divvying up my charity dollars.
Oh, good on you.
That's awesome.
So that's very, very nice.
Hey, well done.
Yeah, good one all. And thank you for listening. And as I said, soldier on, go to thedetails.org.au.
If you missed any of the show too, you can podcast the Soldier On special. So we put it up with our Kennedy Malloy podcast.
How do you find a podcast? How do you?
Oh, my
God.
How do you find it?
He's draining, isn't he? It's only Monday. Tomorrow on our show, Jono Coleman.
Oh, wow.
We go back so many.
You do?
Yes, we do. Remember Jono and Dano had a TV show.
Totally.
I was on that. I've got photo evidence of that.
Jonathan Coleman was huge in radio
in London. Of course,
huge. Yeah. Well, apart from here, but
and
people,
in Virgin,
many people will be unaware.
We'll talk to him about that.
He was on the landscape over there.
And I think he might be here talking about Movember as well.
But really?
Yeah.
Is
well,
he growing one?
Hopefully he's growing one.
Well, he's got a ripping one.
It's good for someone to put their hand up finally and grow on the staff.
We've also gotten young Nick Cody coming in to have a chat with us, one of our
young dad.
Favourite young...
See how he's going. See if it's got him yet. See what kind
He'll be touring a lot. That's what I'm suggesting at the moment.
Well done,
a young Jane. Dad.
All right.
Well done, Dave.
Have a good night, everyone.
Well, the podcast for Soldier On is available with our podcast for this show. Same place where you find them in your iTunes at kennedymalloy.com.au. We'll do it tomorrow.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Malloy. See what else you've been missing out on. Get on Ovo Boom prepaid mobile broadband. Super fast with no contract or wires. Ovo.com.au.